Matthew chapter 15. And we can start reading with verse 10. Matthew 15:10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand that not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the man, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Aw, too bad. After they heard this saying. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let's pray. Our Father, come to you tonight and ask that you'd help us to be clear. There are many false ideas that gain popularity in our day. And Father, we pray that we might make all the effort that we can to protect ourselves and our families and friends from such nonsense. Lord, we pray that you might guard us as there are many snares and many deceitful things that can be said. Pray you'd give us the right balance in these things. Let our moderation be known to all men. And I pray you'd help us in these things tonight as we speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so when you get down to around verse 17, 18, and 19, the lesson of the passage is very plain and evident. The idea is that the heart of a man, a woman, a child is the problem. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, says Jeremiah 17. Amen? And so it's the heart of a man that is God's target, not necessarily, at least in the beginning, the outside. I mean, the Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So the heart's the problem, and that's what the Lord is dealing with, primarily a man's heart. You can thank the Lord that the outward man is not still under the yoke of Old Testament righteousness, because we don't have to keep some of those ordinances and all that they did in the Old Testament, that's for sure. The New Testament's very clear. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That bondage is the ordinance of the law, talking about, in context, circumcision, other rule-keeping things by which salvation is wrought in some people's mind. We stand at liberty from those things. We don't have to do that. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat and drink, in respect of a holy moon, or a holy day of a new moon, or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. We are not bound by those outward legal things anymore, and I sure am glad for that. And so for that reason, when men start undertaking to reform either themselves or somebody else, from the outside in, they often run into problems, and there have been spectacular failures in that, because oftentimes, if you can succeed in reaching the heart while dealing with the outward man like we do our children, hopefully, then that's a grand thing. But all too often, the outward man is at least in part reformed, but nothing happens on the inside. And so there are oftentimes these failures. It's God's target. The heart is God's target. And there can just be no doubt about that reading Matthew chapter 15. Bible says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, in Proverbs 23:7. Amen? In Proverbs 25, it says that he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. A guy's got to rule himself from the outside in, not the inside out. Right? So having said that, again, we know of spectacular failures where men have sought reform from the outside and it didn't affect anything inside the heart. And so whatever changes were made on the outside really amounted to very little. Some of you were in various religions before you got saved, and some of you have stories about how the parochial school nuns treated you and how the outward things were set in order, but it didn't change the inward man or the inward heart. And so it is, that's where things sit. And so for those reasons, therefore, many Christians have now come to the conclusion that the outside doesn't matter at all. Now, you understand that nobody gets to Jesus Christ by changing the outside. And that is, it's a glorious thing that you don't have to change anything outside, your habits or anything else, to get to Jesus Christ and be saved. Praise God for that. But would like to guard against folks going too far with regard to the idea that the outside doesn't matter at all. That is a very common misunderstanding in today's Christianity, because now you have Christians that don't care about the outside at all. And because they, quote-unquote, know Jesus and love Jesus, that makes everything right, and there are no further expectations. Now, I understand where I'm talking about pretty well. Most of you know, all of you may know, that I got saved when I was 10 years old, and backslid then through part of my, junior high school and high school, and got to college, and college, not Bible college, and was a athlete and all those things, and ran with the boys, and came to the end of myself there. And when I got right with the Lord in college, one of the things that I did was joined myself to a Baptist church. Well, this was after I came out of the Southern Baptist. I joined a church and got involved with a group that were basically legalistic fundamentalists. And so I was tied with them for just a few months, several months, before I left for Bible school at PBI. And so, I mean, I got to see how that worked. It was a Hiles brand of things where, as you well know, I mean, I've told you before how, you know, for our invitations, the guy would go through the same sequence of things and questions every single service. One third of the congregation at a time go round and round and round and come to the altar and so on and so forth. It was the same thing every time. The idea was somebody standing at the altar with their cards. They're going to count your head when you come down and get to the altar. It was a very outwardly motivated thing. It was numbers. It was, you got saved. Have you been baptized? If you haven't been baptized, you got to get baptized because it's important that you do the outward thing. And sometimes doing that outward thing doesn't affect the inward man at all. And so all too often, you know, I've run into that with various groups and camp groups and so on and so forth, where the desire is to have fruit, and so what you do is regulate the outer man to get the outward fruit. And unfortunately, very often, nothing changes inside. So I'm saying that to say that I understand where that sentiment comes from. I was sick and tired, fed up to here with the basic legalism that I experienced and the way they did things, and stick your foot in the door, get somebody to pray a prayer after you and they're saved, grab them by the back of the neck, shove them in a Dunkin' tank, and they're good Christians now. And just as long as they're in church and as long as they're doing certain outward things, dress them right, put the right tie on them, make sure that the ladies dress in a certain way. And so some of those things become a real regimented legal thing. And so I have all those sentiments of boiling up in me that that's not right, that doesn't change the inside. And so I was a perfect candidate to basically adopt the idea that since what is inside matters, and the change to me came from the inside, Jesus Christ reaching my heart And I was not changed or bettered, being dealt with from the outside in. Therefore, I was a perfect candidate to adopt this idea of the outside doesn't count. And I'd like to preach to you tonight on how the outside does count. I'm not a legalist. I'm not a Pharisee. I was very thankful. I've had this conversation with Seth twice, my oldest son. And Seth has enough experience in the world now to have been around some fundamentalists who tried to rule from the outside in. And I've been very happy to hear him say twice in talking to other folks that whatever else is true, my dad, we had rules at our house and standards, but I always knew why. Because a bunch of his friends were just simply told no or yes or you must not, and were never told why. So they were dealt with only from the outside in. They were never they never understood from the heart why they should or should not or could not. And so I'm just happy to know that, to hear my grown son say at least, I didn't always like the rules, but my dad always let me know why. And so I just want to say, from that perspective, that you know I know what I'm talking about, and I've been there, and I've had all these sentiments boil up before where I'm tempted just to leave this outside, outward Christianity out because there have been so many failures with it. By the way, the place that I joined, the Independent Baptist Church I joined there for a while before I went to PBI, turns out the guy that was, you know, all regimented and squared away, and it was like this and this and this, and you wore this and you sat this far from her, and da 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 da, and the hymn lines were thus, and this, if you couldn't see skin around your ears, your hair was long. Well, that guy, my first year in Bible school, I learned was a pedophile. And so, like I said, I have all these things boil up in my mind when these things... I have all kinds of examples of how that outside-in thing doesn't work, largely. And at the same time, I wish to say that the outside does count. And there are some reasons why. I want to show you that. The outside counts. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 23. We're going to hit five or six verses here real fast before I say much more. Proverbs 23:7, I may have quoted this already. Proverbs 23:7, the outside does count. Salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You should change from the inside out. Jesus Christ must first deal with your heart on the inside before the outer man changes. I grant all that. That's the way it should be. Proverbs 23, notice verse 7. For as he, talking about somebody that hath an evil eye in verse 6, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what boils around in your heart is what you are, it says there. Look in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. If the Lord doesn't deal with you in your heart and spirit on the inside, you're going to have real problems on the outside. Look further at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, 4. All this establishes that the Lord is after the inside so that the outside changes. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The reason something's wrong with a man's tongue is not anything other than what's wrong in his heart. Now, Matthew chapter 12, I should have kept you nearby there. I should have gone to that one first, I suppose. Matthew 12, real fast. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's inside first is what matters. Now, Philippians chapter 2. Just a couple more passages on this point. Philippians chapter 2. Just trying to establish what's true. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. God is working in you so that you will what God wills. He worketh in you to both to will and to do His good pleasure. God works on you from the inside out. And finally, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, let me get back there for context. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor. He says, I too am still working to be perfect. He hasn't arrived yet, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Indicating God's working is from the outside in. I'd like to say this first of all. The outside counts because the outside eventually reflects what's going on inside. If there's a key to this, it's the idea that the outside eventually reflects what's going on inside. I know the world says, and there's a degree of truth to it, that you can't tell a book by its cover. I understand that that's true. It can be deceptive to superficially judge something merely from the outside because you don't know what's going on inside. That much is true. However, there's another side note to that, and that side note is sometimes the outside does reflect something good that's going on the inside. Sometimes that outside is the fruit of what's going on the inside. And so, while we are not, called to be fruit inspectors and just walk around with our monocle on, looking at everybody, checking their fruit out, and judging them by it, the fact of the matter is that eventually, whatever else is the case, your outside does reflect what's going on inside. And it's important before you dismiss the idea that the outside doesn't matter, that you remember that eventually what's on the inside works its way out. The inward wretch can put on an outside show, that's for sure. And so you all have been familiar with charlatans that have done that. And don't need to get too close to some of that, but some of y'all have names and faces in your minds right now of folks that have played that game. It's turned out been wretched inside, but they put on an outside show. And so I know that's true. It is also true that, in the same breath, that somebody that looks all wrong on the outside could at that moment be being dealt with on the inside by the Holy Ghost. And so it's a deceptive thing. I keep thinking of Brother Spurgeon and how he told us, he got saved as a biker and all that stuff, fresh out of prison and all that. Winds up in church and is standing in the foyer of the church with a ponytail hanging down to the middle of his back and looking as rough as a cob and all those things, and people walking by whispering, "What's he doing here?" And they had no idea from the looks of this guy the work that was going on the inside. In fact, what I should say in regard to this is there can be, and often is, a lag in the outside man reflecting what all is going on the inside. So sometimes you deal with a new Christian and you're disappointed by the fact that they seem to have made no progress whatsoever, and that, nothing is reflected different on their outside than you saw before. But the fact of the matter is you don't know what God's doing inside. And so that's a blessing, and you just need to know that the outside does matter, because the outside does eventually, sometimes with a lag in time, reflect what's going on inside. You eventually reflect outwardly what you are inwardly. So you stand in a biker's garage, and he's supposed to be a Christian, and he's been saved a year. He weighs 340 pounds. He stinks to high heaven. He looks like a blue-green cartoon character. He has so much ink on him. He's got nudie calendars in his garage, and he has the mouth of a sailor. He's a year old in the Lord, and some of that stuff should probably go, but the Lord hasn't had a lot of time to work on him. Now, if the guy's 15 years old in the Lord, and it still looks the same way, then you know that somebody else is doing the decorating besides the Lord. The tattoos and the nudie calendars and all the other things, the music and the language and all that, that's not the work of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm saying, I'm trying to get you to see, is that the outside counts, because whatever is the case, the outside does eventually reflect what's going on in the inside. You can't disregard the outside totally. You just can't. And so we're a modern megachurch Christian tries to call you a Pharisee because you're discussing some outward thing that is, say, drinking, or say, raunchy music, or something like that. You're discussing that, but they consider you a Pharisee because you, quote-unquote, are judging them. Well, depending on what's going on inside, they may need to be judged. I just wish to say that you can't forget that the outside eventually becomes like the inside. Eventually, the outside does reflect the inside. My question for you is, does your outside reflect what's going on inside? Are you better? Are you a better Christian or a worse Christian than what you reflect on the outside? If you are a worse Christian than is reflected on the outside, that means that you're putting on a show on the outside. If you're a better Christian than you reflect on the outside, are you sure that you're glorifying God? You know what I'm saying? So first of all, I just want to say the outside becomes like the inside. The outside does count. It does count for something. I'm not saying that you can always judge it clearly. I'm not saying that, you know, anytime you just walk up to a guy not knowing the story or anything else, you can absolutely judge him like you judge a book by its cover, because that's not the case. But you should not forget that the outside does eventually reflect the inside. There's something else that I can say along that line. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Something that you cannot forget. Modern Christianity, I will not stop preaching about it. Modern Christianity has this proclivity where they don't wish to be judged in any way, shape, form, or fashion by what they're doing or saying are undertaking. And because they can tell you, they can put on a show and tell you how much they love the Lord and that they too are saved and that they pray every day. In fact, they pray all the time. They pray about everything, let's face it. That because that's the case, that it's you that's being the Pharisee looking on the outside expecting to see something special. You're the Pharisee. The outside, they say, doesn't count. And that's just not true. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Go down, if you will, to verse 22. Matthew 6, 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay, now that what that shows you is that not everything emanates from inside. What I wish you to see is not only that the outside eventually reflects the inside, I wish you to also see the outside is a gateway to the inside. The light of the body is the eye. What you see does reflect sometimes what you think. Because what you see goes in and affects the heart. So you can't just say it all comes from inside. It's a two-way street. What comes out of the heart defiles the man. But sometimes men put things in their hearts through the gateways God's given us. For instance, there's another thing, Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, the eyes. Certainly you'll see here the ears. Things you feel, your other senses, those things are gateways. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, the seed of the Word of God, such as hear the Word and receive it. They hear that Word, and some bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. For what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now he said, the light of the body is the eye. It's very plain here. One guy hears the Word of God, does something with it. You see, the point is that you are what you think inside. But there's another way that goes, because you put stuff in your eyes and you put stuff in your ears. The outside is a gateway to the inside. And folks, understand that there are things that emanate from the heart that defile, and that's true. But there are also things that enter from the outside that can defile worse. And so I'll just say that if you disregard, there's a movement, it's an epidemic, to disregard outward righteousness or outward concerns at all. How many times do we have to hear it? Music is neutral. Music doesn't matter. If music doesn't matter, could you explain to me why, after being downtown Friday night, exactly 4 centimeters from the bandstand, or at least it felt that way, I have heard the devil, I have had the devil went down to Georgia and Smokey and the Bandit rolling through my head perpetually, because for an hour and a half, that's the stuff I was hearing. You see, I mean, I had to be down there to put the gospel out, but it went in my ears, and so now I got these tunes bouncing around inside my head. The devil went down to Georgia looking for a soul to steal. And eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. I could do the rest of the song for you. You want me to? No. Anyway. The outside is a gateway to the inside. And the simple point is, it doesn't matter what music you listen to. And it does matter what kind of music you worship to. Because it affects what goes on inside. The outside does matter. What you partake in, the shoulders that you rub with. I'll tell you what, if you haven't learned yet, that pornography that enters in will rot you from the inside out. You better get a clue real fast, because it will. It will. What goes in from the outside in does affect things. The outside is a gateway to the inside. Entertainment. How often have you watched a movie and been captivated by the story or the end of the story for days after? Maybe it was an action-packed adventure, maybe it was a romance, ladies, maybe whatever it was, but you've thought about that movie now for days. When's the last time you thought about a passage of Scripture for days? You see, what enters from the outside does matter. It does matter. Communications, evil communications, corrupt good manners. Those communications are from the outside in. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Look in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I'm simply trying to guard you against starting to think that all the outward righteousness, righteous acts, are useless, that anything born as far as righteous fruit outwardly doesn't really count. After all, that's not how you got saved. You got saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a free gift. And none of your righteousness had anything to do with any of that. You got to be careful to guard against the idea, therefore, coming from that, that the outside doesn't matter at all after you're a Christian. Because it does matter. It does matter because eventually the outside reflects the inside. And by the way, the outside is a gateway to the inside. Proverbs chapter 13. Go down to verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now stop right there for a second and think about that. Okay, a bad influence, you hang around with idiots, your intelligence is not going to be increased and your better judgment's not either. And I know it's not osmosis, and I know it's not automatic, but if you hang around wise, prudent, discreet people, you at least see wise, prudent, discreet character and decisions being and judgments being made. You have a better chance of being wise, discreet, and prudent. It says there in verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Walking with the wise men, you walking in friendship with them on the outside does affect inside to the positive. Now to the negative, you know the end of the verse, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I just want to say the outside counts. It certainly does count. It counts for more than just a little. Because it eventually reflects what's going on inside, what God is doing in you. And the other thing is that the outside is a gateway to the inside. I can say this further. Look in Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? See that? You got evil inside you, so how can you speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's in your heart is what will eventually come out. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Well, back in verse 34 it said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? I'd like to say you can see there, the outside speaks. The outside does say something. The reason you were scared of the 340-pound Harley guy that stunk to high heaven and was using that language is because of what he was doing. And it's the outside says something that's perceived as a threat. Somebody that's doing right, it's perceived as something else. I'd just like to just say the outside speaks. You can like it, you can lump it, you can take it or leave it. But what you are on the outside, how you act, the advice you take, the actions, the things you laugh at, the things you enjoy, who you walk with, those outward things do say something. It's called a testimony. The outside speaks. And the heart brings forth more than words. It speaks in more ways than one. Can you explain this to me? Now, I know there's a spiritual aspect to it. I understand that. But there's also verbal cues. There's just things that you glance and you see it and two or three things add up. Can you tell me how a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, you know a guy's gay before he even speaks? And I say, well, brother, that's a spirit. Okay, I believe in discerning spirits and there's probably something to that. But how can you so often tell just by meeting a guy on the street, whether he is a homo. I've seen it so many times where it does turn out that he's a homo. How does that work? I tell you what it is. It's verbal. It's nonverbal cues. There are various things that you may not notice specifically, but when you look at just glance, it all adds up. The guy's a queer. How is it that you meet two ladies walking down a Cub food aisle and, oh, those are just friends. And then another couple, those are two fairyland people. Some of it is spiritual, but some of it's nonverbal cues. Some of it is just the fact that the outside speaks. You don't even have to spend a lot of time studying it. How can you tell sometimes that a guy is a creep? Just by looking at him, just by watching him for just a second. How can you tell if a girl is loose? Nonverbal cues. See, the outside does speak. The way she stands, the way she acts, how she's treating the person with her, it all adds up. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm not trying to make you, again, fruit inspectors or anything like that. I would like for you to be aware that the outside does say something. Whether you like it or not, it does. And I'm sorry, but a Christian that's been saved for 15 years and still is dressing like he or she used to dress when they were lost, listening to the same music as when they were lost, that's a bad testimony. Because there were some things that should have changed from the inside out and frankly from the outside in, so that now when the outside speaks, it should say something different than it said when you were lost. The outside speaks. What do tight skirts and those skin-tight sleeves that some of the girls wear these days, and when you know, you can see cleavage. What does that say? Ladies, what do you think it says? Now, I know I'm getting close to stuff here that's going to get me in trouble. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. Because it says something. And if you think people don't notice, they notice. And there's times that there are Christian ladies that dress in a way that is inconsistent with being a Christian. It's consistent with trying to attract somebody's attention. It's consistent with advertising. And then they have the gall to be offended when somebody says something smirky to them. It's not just women, it's guys too about stuff. I am saying, though, that the outside speaks, and sometimes you have a tendency to overlook that because the emphasis today is that the outside doesn't speak. I mean, I have perfect liberty in Christ. I have grace, and it's not about the outward man. It's what's going on inside, and I love Jesus. Well, we can't tell. And that's the problem. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 6 real quick. Proverbs 6. Okay, ladies, I creeped on you, so I'll creep on the guys here for a second. Just we're equal opportunity offenders here. Ever known a guy like this? Proverbs 6. I've known Christians like this. Proverbs 6, verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Got a smart mouth. Got a contrary mouth. He likes to argue. If you say the sky's blue, he'll say, nuh-uh. And it goes on to say down in, where am I, verse 13. He winketh with his eyes. You ever had a guy that half the time you were talking to him, he'd go like that. It's an inside joke. Like that, you know. He's saying something smart, and he thinks he's real cute, and he goes, just to you, you know, behind everybody else's back, you know. Yeah. He winketh with his eyes. Verse 13. He's a real pill, this guy is. He's a real character. He thinks he's smart. He thinks he's funny. It says, he speaketh with his feet. I don't even know what that is. I know what this is, though. He teacheth with his fingers. He's touchy. He's touchy-feely. He has a tendency to be hands-on, even with girls, even with women. It goes on to say in verse 14, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Better watch a guy that's always winking, always got something a little underhanded going, kind of winking at you, and always retouching you, and, you know, oh yeah, brother. Oh yeah. Something's wrong. The outside says something. It gives you a little bit of a little shiver, you know. Just have you poo-pooed the outside? You know, you've heard, you know, of so many Pharisaical legalistic stories and how many Pharisees there have been and how many pastors are pedophiles and adulterers and how many missionaries have compromised themselves on the field and how much money's been stolen. And you knew this guy that was leading the youth and he got off messing with the girls and all this kind of stuff. I mean, and from all those things, because there was such an emphasis on the outside with those folks, have you therefore poo-pooed the outside? Where now you think the outside doesn't matter? The outside does matter. You shouldn't be a hypocrite about it, but the inward working of God does work its way out to the outward man. And you, the outside speaks. Don't tell me that you can't figure out, in time, usually, who's a shill and who's sincere and honest and forthright. I mean, don't you know those among you that have borne consistent, regular, dependable fruit as far as advice and counsel and just a basic good testimony versus those that are always wavering and seem to be always falling off the truck somewhere? Well, listen, the outside does count. And you can count on a guy that's always faithful and bearing that kind of fruit, whereas you can't always count on the guy that's not. The outside speaks. I can tell you this too. The outside ministers, look in Ephesians chapter 4. It's something that we sometimes forget, the power of a testimony. And I don't believe in just lifestyle evangelism. I do believe in lifestyle evangelism. I think that you should open your mouth along the way. In fact, I think you should open your mouth all the time. I think you should talk it as well as live it. Because very often, just you living it is not enough. But the outside speaks. The outside is a gateway to the inside. The outside eventually reflects the inside. And I just want you to see this. It's an important thing for a testimony. Ephesians chapter 4. And again, it would help if I'm there. Ephesians chapter 4, going down to verse 22. Going to pick up somewhere. Okay, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the Lord working in you, right? That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. This thing is talking about an outward life being changed to the extent that what this outward life now appears is, of course, consistent with inward changes, but it ministers to somebody on the outside. Your honesty, your lack of corrupt communication ministers to somebody. I want to say the outside ministers, right? Look in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, go down to verse 9. Of course, these passages are this wrestling match between the inner man and the outer man, the old man, the new man. And so in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. These things minister to one another, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Charity is something that we have among ourselves. It's something outward. The outside, when it grows and becomes fruit, says something. Not only does it say something, it ministers something. Because you have charity, because you have long-suffering, because you know what tenderness is, because you love the brother, your outside ministers. And the inside, I get it. I get the inside's supposed to minister. But the outside ministers. Just another verse here, or two. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. We're in one body. We're ministering to one another by what happens outside, by the inward work being brought out. Verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. See, it ministers, it teaches, it admonishes. The outside ministers. I'd like to say one last thing. Look in Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to get real close to it again, okay? Titus chapter 2. Rub up against things that make American Christians feel really uncomfortable. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. I'd like to say, here are servants. These are most likely bond servants. In other places, they certainly are. Being admonished to be obedient and subservient to their own masters. And what that does is what? Verse 10, it adorns. It adorns the doctrine of God, our Savior. I'd like to say, whether you're a servant or not, the outside adorns, or else it blasphemes. It adorns. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. I'm just trying to make you conscious of the fact that you're not a Pharisee because you're trying to live right and because you bear outward fruit and are concerned about what kind of fruit you're bearing forth. Not just what you're thinking, not just what's going on inside, but what comes out. It does involve how you dress. And it does involve how you treat each other. And it does involve how you approach your job. And it does involve how you respond when somebody's a jerk. It does involve how you respond when some idiot getting paid not much more than minimum wage gives you a hard time in Minneapolis. And he's interfering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does, it does. The outside adorns, or it should. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go down to verse 9. Oh boy. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I don't have a burr under my saddle here tonight, ladies. I just know that cleavage is not something to show. Not in a Christian setting, and if you're a Christian, it shouldn't be shown anyway. You know why? Because it says something. And because either adorns or it doesn't. And it doesn't adorn the doctrine of God for people worrying what's going to happen when you bend over. Thank you very much. Verse 9. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair. Now that's not a verse against braiding your hair. That's a verse against broiding your hair. Embroidery is you taking mixed materials and more or less plaiting them together. We're talking here about hair that we're talking here about adorning, and so it's like jewels. And so they would put expensive chains and expensive jewelry and broid them into their hair. So it's a superfluous, over the top type deal. It's not talking about braided hair. It's broided hair, right? It says in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, not with broided hair. And look, just, let me say it, skin tight, wondering if you painted those pants on stuff is for the birds. And if you got, gentlemen, if you got pants on like that, either you are too fat or you are something I don't want to talk about. Thank you. Okay. Verse, I just thought I'd just go there just for a second. Just try the water. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. There's a profession. Is what you profess consistent with what the outside is? Boy, you can go to some of the fashion shows in this town and church, and what they profess, the love and the charity and their loving concern for the mission field, certainly isn't consistent with what the way they dress. Thank you. Verse 10, with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I just won't even go there. I'll just go somewhere else. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're back to another sensitive issue. But in each of those passages, you see that adorning. The outside adorns. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. How people act, what they do. It's not just about standards. It's about standards of behavior. Verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, the word adorning is not in that verse, but it says there that a servant who behaves himself toward his master as he should, keeps God and His doctrine from being blasphemed. That means it makes it more appealing. Somebody looks at the servant who is a bond servant, looks at that servant and sees that servant happy, loves his master, honors his master, has reached a settlement with the Holy Spirit about his lot in life, and he's happy where he abides in the vocation where he abides, like Ephesians says he should be, and it adorns the doctrine of God. Look at one more here, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The outside adorns. The outside ministers. The outside speaks. The outside is a gateway to the inside. The outside eventually reflects what's going on inside. And 1 Peter chapter 3. Go down to verse... Oh boy, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Does the wife conduct herself in such a godly and Christian fashion that without nagging her husband and always being the preacher in the house, that the husband sees the difference and can be won by the way his wife is living? Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation, the way you live, coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Here's another adorning. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair. Again, plaiting it with expensive, gaudy stuff. Plaiting the hair, wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, there's an ornamentation of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, ladies, your husbands have problems too. But how often have you heard a loud, boisterous woman, and she's not helping the position of her husband spiritually, because she's just always... She's not meek. She's not quiet. She doesn't adorn. She is not consistent with what a Christian woman should be. I'm not on anybody here. I don't have anybody in mind, just so you know. Thank you. Verse 5. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. Verse 4. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands. See that outside, the way they live, the attitude, it adorns. It ministers. It speaks. It's a gateway to the inside. And mainly, in the main, it works its way from the outside, from the inside out. Have you poo-pooed outward stuff? It's easy to. There are some in our crowd that have. They were burned in the fundamentalist movement, and they got tired of having certain outward things hammered home all the time, just can't let it go. Tithing, 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 baptism, 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 separation, secondary separation, skirts, 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 no shorts, no shorts, no shorts, no TV, no TV, no TV, etc., etc. And they've had hammered those specifics and details so long that they've all but rejected standards at all, as if God had no standards of behavior. Brethren, don't be deceived. The outside does count. The Lord wants to work inside out, that's true. But don't think the outside doesn't matter at all, because it certainly does. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we ask.